First off, is this going to be your first trip to Iowa?
Oh, I doubt it. I don't know. The truth is, I travel all over the world, but I've smartened up, and I don't tend to go out exploring when I travel. And so I come to the hotel room, I get a good amount of sleep, and I come out, and I go, if I'm coming to a convention, I have a great day meeting fans and taking a lot of compliments, and that's always fun. Or if I'm shooting a movie, I go to a soundstage and start, you know, go to work. Or if I do a concert, you know, we rehearse with the band and perform. But, and so really, for me, and I'm not complaining, it's really airplanes in the hotel rooms. And I found that if I go out and explore more than that, I'm too tired to really bring it for my job. And so I think I've been to Iowa. I can't imagine I haven't been. But in all honesty, it's probably going to be I will see an Iowan hotel room.
Well, I hope our airport and our hotel are nice for you.
That's no different than Paris or Barcelona or London. Or anywhere else I've been. When I was younger, I did go out, you know, and explore wherever I was. And I find that that's very tiring.
I hear you. You know, I'm sure you hear a lot of the same questions. I'd like to start with something else. When you come to Comic-Con in Des Moines, a lot of people are going to know you for Spike on Buffy and Angel, but many may not know about your musical career, and you just referenced it. Let's start there. Is Ghost of the Robot a ghost now? Or are you still doing some solo work, singing, playing guitar, or what?
It is alive and kicking. Ghost is, we're still together. We're working on our fourth album. It is a thematically a double album, although we're going to release each of the two discs singly. The first one's going to be coming out this August. But no, we're still playing live. We're still recording music, and it is one of the great blessings of my life that I still get to be with a group of musicians that can just take songs that I write and make them what I kind of thought I wanted in the beginning. You know, a lot of bands kind of fight over how they're going to produce their songs. And we've never fought over that. We always just instinctually come together and seem to agree on the sound. And it's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to, I think we're in Sacramento when we release the first side of the album, the double album. In Sacramento, we're going to do some live performance, and I'm looking forward to that a lot. Unfortunately, we can't tour as much as we'd like to because one of us is in college. It's always been a problem for the band. When we got together, three of us were in high school, and then when they got out of high school, two of them went on to college. By the time they got out of college, we got a new guy in who was in high school. So it's always been a problem of getting extended tours together, but we've been all over the world. I think we've sold out every club in London, cause we play London a lot, but we've played New York, Chicago, Seattle.
You have not played Des Moines.
France. I know, part of the rock and roll experience and the rock and roll dream is playing Des Moines and playing everywhere, you know, doing bus and train tours, doing airplane tours, you know, doing it all. And I'm not sure when we're going to get to do it. And this is true everywhere I go. Everyone says, you know, when are you going to come to my town? And I always say, well, we were actually just like 80 miles away last summer. And they're saying, well, but I know, but here. we try our best, man. Yeah.
You've played such a range of characters during your career, and even just with Spike, your arc went from one of the worst villains to eventually a love interest and a hero. Can you talk about, I guess, what type of person you enjoy playing the most and why?
I have to say, I'm a lazy man, Matt, so I like to play villains. They're a lot easier than heroes. When you play a hero, you have to care about people, and you have to run around trying to save them. And you have to dredge up all of this vulnerability and guilt When you play a villain, you just get to lurk in the shadows and wait for the hero to come huffing and puffing and caring, running by you, and then you leap out of the shadows and pop him in the face, and then you both go home. And I find it's a lot more fun. I like to think of myself as a nice person, and I think that all the nice people out there will understand when I say a lot of what I do to be a nice person is to not share everything that I'm thinking, and to try to act a little better than I feel, and to treat people a little better than I might first want to. And I think that's the secret of being a good person. But it takes a lot of work. And so when you play a villain, you get to just kind of let that all out and not have to bother with all of that. And just kind of barf all of your anger out without editing yourself. And so actually it's a lot of fun. And when you're acting, you don't hurt anybody. And it's actually fun to watch someone do that in the safety of a story.
I had read once that you'd always dreamed about becoming an actor ever since playing Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh in fourth grade. First, is that true? And second, now that you're 54, what kinds of things do you dream about for your career since you've already been a rock star and a TV star?
I did. You are absolutely right, Matt. You've done your homework. I played Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh in fourth grade, and I think I was very good. I think I achieved the necessary pathos of the character. And I was bitten pretty early. I don't spend a lot of time trying to decide what I expect out of my career going forward. I find that the universe doesn't necessarily reorder itself every morning when I wake up with a new set of expectations. I like to think, I like to take life as it comes. At this point, I've been cast in a new television series for Hulu. It's based on a Marvel comic book, and it's produced by Marvel, called Runaways. And that's going to keep me busy for the foreseeable future. And then after that, I'm going to take it as it comes. I find that the roles that come to me are much more interesting than the ones I might dream up for myself. Because really, if you ask any actor what kind of roles they want, the answer you're going to get is some version of, you know, a role that will make me look cool, or a role that will make me look important, or one. And I think that's much less interesting than roles that have come to me as a surprise.
Certainly your role as Spike was that kind of role, and from what I understood, you were supposed to be killed off after like 5 episodes, but you got such a good reaction from fans that Joss Whedon decided to keep you around for a long time. What do you think resonated so well with the fan base about Spike?
I think that Spike had fun. I think it's fun to watch a performer having fun. I come from stage, and there's a saying that we have in stage. It says, it's called a play for a reason. No one pays to watch you work. And so the trick is to always, no matter what kind of role you're having, is on some level have a lot of fun. And the weird thing about Spike was that he was having a lot of fun dismembering people. And that's a strange thing to get your head around, but within the world of Buffy, that was allowable. And I went all the way in that direction. And so if I could think of one word for Spike, it would be glee, surprisingly enough. I don't know why Joss kept me around, frankly. To Joss Whedon, evil is not cool. And I really respect him for that. I don't think evil is cool. I think evil is pathetic most of the time, and sad. And that's the way that Joss wanted to portray evil on his show. And I think that, Spike was not meant to be a long-term character. He was supposed to be kind of cool and fun. And then he was to be triumphed over and killed off. In Buffy, you know, vampires are just metaphors for the challenges that you face in life. And the heroes are supposed to overcome those challenges. So in a way, I was imperiling the theme of Buffy, and if I had been Joss, I'd have killed Spike off after one episode. As soon as I heard that the fans thought he was sexy, I would have killed him off in the blink of an eye, because it wasn't good for the theme. But Joss is a very brave artist, and he decided to explore that and worked me into the show and started to make Spike vulnerable and a little goofy and not as cool as in the beginning, and really kind of got his fingers into the character. And it made for a really wild ride. It made for, it seemed like every season I was kind of a different character. I started as the cool guy villain, and then I think I was the wacky neighbor for a while, and I was the wrong boyfriend for a while, and then I was the guinea pig hero, and then finally I think on Angel I was that friend who comes in from out of town saying, "Can I stay on your couch for a couple of days?" And he does, but he never leaves. You can't get him out of your house.
I, let me ask one more question. I know you've got to run. Your accent as Spike was fantastic, and I'd heard that Anthony Stewart Head had helped coach you with your accent early on. Do you still meet people at Comic-Cons who don't know that you're not British?
I constantly meet people who are feel betrayed that I'm not British. I like to play it off, and I say, "I'm only British if you pay me." Oh, that's right. You've paid me for an autograph. Yes, I'm British. I'm from London. I've been all my life. But yeah, I understand that they're a little let down. But that, I'm sorry, man, fooled you. I'm from California. I just watched a lot of Monty Python when I was a kid. And frankly, yeah, Tony Head, tutored me by force. He didn't give me a choice. He came up to me and said that I was embarrassing him. And then he had to hold his head up when he went back to his home in London, in England. And he was going to help me. And so he would come to my trailer. He would not knock. He would enter, and we would go over the script word by word and all, get my lines down until he was satisfied that it was credible. And I think without Tony's help, and Tony is a wonderful man, by the way, without his help, Spike would not have lasted nearly as long. And he probably would have been a little bit cheesy.